And welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Two children and one adult infected with E. coli, and it's certainly not a new concern with the bacteria finding its way into people through all kinds of different foods. To talk about the latest case and what you and your family should look out for, I'm joined by Dr. Robert Graham. He's the medical director for the Mid-Michigan District Health Department. Welcome to the program, Dr. Graham.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So do we know how these three were infected with E. coli, what the source was?
No, we don't know the source yet. We're still looking into it.
Now, what is the most common way that people are exposed to E. coli?
The most common way that people can get this is with through food or from the fecal-oral route. They can get it from unpasteurized milk. They can get it from unpasteurized cider, from another person. Those are the ways that it can be transmitted. Can I give you an update on the...
Sure.
Okay. At this time, there's only one person hospitalized. A total of two are hospitalized. A third person had the infection but was not hospitalized.
I see. Okay. So now, how serious is an infection when it requires hospitalization?
The biggest concern is a condition we call hemolytic uremic syndrome. This is a condition where the red blood cell count drops, the platelet cells drop. The platelets are the little cells that clot your blood, like when you're cut, and your kidneys malfunction. And if disease is serious, that is, if it gets to a point where it damages the kidneys or other organs, it can be fatal.
I know that E. coli is especially deadly for children. What are the first signs that a child may be infected with E. coli?
Well, the first symptoms are maybe a lack of appetite. Of course, you know, that's a common thing in most kids. But then it progresses to maybe abdominal bloating, maybe fussiness, then diarrhea, and then... After the onset of the diarrhea, 3 to 4 to 7 days after the onset of the diarrhea, you can start to see blood in the stool. And at that point, things are real serious and they need to be checked. But I tell parents anytime that a child has diarrhea longer than 48 hours, they should be checking in with their family doctor or pediatrician.
What about adults? Are there cases where adults are exposed to E. coli and their systems are able to fight the infection and they recover without the need for hospitalization?
Yeah, that's the general rule. We don't, you know, the older you are, the more healthy you are, the better you are able to fight it off.
I mean, could we actually have many cases, hundreds, thousands of cases of people being sick from E. coli and never knowing it at all?
Yeah, we do have asymptomatic carriers. But as far as the numbers of cases, you know, I really couldn't answer that.
I'm talking to Dr. Robert Graham. He's the medical director for the Mid-Michigan District Health Department. Now, I know that eating meat that's not fully cooked is a particular concern with E. coli. I mean, how likely is it if you're eating a piece of meat that's medium rare that given piece of meat it has E. coli in it?
It's less likely if it's like a piece of like steak. It's more likely if it's ground meat. Ground meat, what happens is during the butchering process, the E. coli that naturally occurs in the gut of ruminant animals like cows, sheep, pigs, deer, it contaminates the skeletal muscle, and then it gets ground up, and then it can cause the passage of the E. coli from the animal to the human.
Now, what is the typical treatment for E. coli at the hospital, and why is it not always successful?
Well, the treatment is supportive in nature. In other words, replace fluids, give food through the vein, that kind of thing. Well, the reason it's not always supportive is because, I'm sorry, it's not always successful is because the organ damage is extensive at the time of the onset of treatment.
Now, is there no medicine to, like, an antibacterial medicine that can directly fight off the E. coli infection?
You can use antibiotics, but antibiotics are not always the best choice in treating this because, you can go ahead and kill the germ with antibiotics, but, hopefully it doesn't get to that point where you have to rely on that. That's a specialty care. And what you want to do is you want to make sure that you catch it early if possible.
I mean, is it fairly rare nowadays for a child or anyone to die from E. coli?
Well, the current statistic is that 3-5% of all cases are fatal.
And that's considered a fairly big number?
Even 0.5% of case fatalities I would consider big, but it's unsettling to me.
And finally, are there any kind of general safety precautions a parent can take? I mean, ultimately, I mean, there's a bacteria everywhere we go. So is there anything in particular with E. coli that a parent can do to avoid their kids being infected?
Yeah, there's a couple of good things, and I'm glad you asked. Our main message here is prevention, prevention, prevention. You know, whether it's E. coli, Salmonella, Listeria, any of those things, we have to assume that they could be in our food. You know, they're potentially in our food. And food manufacturers do everything they can to try to keep it out of the food chain, but it does occur. And so proper preparations, making sure that the utensils and bowls and surfaces are clean, making sure that there's no cross-contamination of the food preparation process, proper cooking, making sure that, for example, ground meats are cooked to at least 155 degrees temperature or until the fluids run clear. Hand washing. I can't emphasize enough how important that is. Hand washing with hot, soapy water.
And these cases in Gratiot County, then these few cases, they appear to be to be an isolated incident.
No, I don't think so. The first case of this strain of E. coli was associated with a packing house in the eastern part of the state of Michigan. It's the first time it had appeared in Michigan. And then there were cases surrounding that linked to that case. And then a little while later, there were three other cases of this strain linked to the Clinton County Fair. Not that they got it there necessarily, but because that was the only common factor that we saw with these three cases. And then there's this third cluster of cases, the two children and adult, in a separate location. So the Department of Community Health, the Agricultural Department, and local health departments have been cooperating, trying to trace back where this may have entered the food chain.
I see. So it does appear to, in fact, be food-related, and it sounds like we may not have seen the last of these related cases.
Well, I hope this is the last we've seen of it, but I don't think it's safe to assume that it was food-related, but, that's certainly a possibility, and we're certainly checking into it.
Dr. Robert Graham, Medical Director for the Mid-Michigan District Health Department, thank you very much for joining me.
Well, thank you for the time. It was nice talking to you.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.